Revelation 22. We'll begin in verse 1, read to the end of the chapter. This is the very last chapter of the Bible. And so the last and parting words of God's holy writ, Revelation chapter 22. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of the Bible. Revelation 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them that keep the sayings of the book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates of the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and adulterers and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add to these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things that are written in this book. He that testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you, Lord, just thankful to have read this chapter. What a beautiful chapter. Thank you for the little peek that it gives us into heaven. Thank you for, Lord, the way that it exalts your Son. And then also, Lord, thank you for the sweet and glorious invitation, Lord, that you conclude this book with. And Lord, as we preach on this subject this morning, I pray, dear God, that you work in the hearts of each and every one that's here. Lord, for those that have been saved, Lord, I pray, dear God, that this message would be a reminder of the grace and generosity and forgiveness and compassion of a wonderful Savior. If there be someone here without Christ, Lord, I pray that this message would be a warning. And Lord, yes, an invitation to join the family of God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to direct your attention back to verse number 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Before I preach on whosoever won't, let me first of all start out by preaching on whosoever will. The message of whosoever will is found all through the New Testament writings. Jesus is the greatest champion of the whosoever will message. Let me remind you this. Jesus not only came to die on the cross for our sins, even though the primary purpose, as he stated it, was to seek and to save that which was lost. But the Bible also tells us that he was sent here to preach. Sometimes we don't recognize the great preaching ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus was a preacher. He was sent here to preach, to proclaim the message of the gospel. Matthew 4:17, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Luke 4:43, and He said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. Matthew 4:23, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness, all manner of disease among the people. Yeah, folks, Jesus was a preacher. What was the message that Jesus preached? Well, yes, He preached the message of repentance, and that needs to be preached on. You know, folks, listen, there's no magic prayer. Are you getting this? Well, preacher, I want to go to heaven, but I really don't want to give up on my sins. I don't want to turn my back on the world. I don't want to change my life in any way. Just give me the magic prayer that I pray so that I can go ahead to heaven, know that I'm going to heaven, and go back out and live the way I've always lived. Let me tell you something, folks. You disrespect what Jesus did when you come to Jesus with that attitude. Repentance, a willingness to turn and to change, is an important ingredient in this matter of salvation. So yes, He preached repentance. What else did He preach? Well, He preached the message of the gospel. What is the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That Jesus died for our sins according to the gospel. That He was buried and rose again. Let me remind you also that He preached on the kingdom of God, or the gospel of the kingdom. The emphasis this morning is not just on what message He preached, but to whom it was preached. The message of repentance, the message of the gospel, the message of eternal life in heaven was not delivered to just a select few, but the message was delivered, watch this, to whosoever will. Whosoever will. John chapter 3, verse number 14, as Jesus lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John chapter 4, verse number 13 and 14, Jesus said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. At the grave of his friend Lazarus, He spoke to Martha, and He said these words. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Watch this. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And it's worth reading her answer. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Amen. John chapter 14, Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And of course, Peter picked up where Jesus left off in Acts chapter 2 when he preached that great sermon at Pentecost. And in that sermon, we read these words, and it came to pass, and it shall come to pass, that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The last stop on the Romans road before a person has an opportunity to be saved. We read these verses, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. I love this. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We read these verses in Revelation chapter 22. Isn't it interesting? The very last set of verses in the last chapter, the whosoever will message once again is proclaimed. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. The message of salvation is directed to whosoever will. What's that mean, preacher? Let me put it in plain terms. God wants everyone to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Whosoever will. Whosoever will. The message is for whosoever. But notice there's a word that follows that. Whosoever will. Say, preacher, whosoever will what? Repent. Whosoever will what? Believe. Whosoever will what? Receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Whosoever will what? Call upon Him and ask Him to be their Lord and Savior. Watch this, folks. This speaks to us of the concept, the doctrine of the free will of man. Now watch this. God never created a bunch of robots. God's not going to make anybody get saved. He gave you opportunity. He provided the way to be saved. But you know what He says? You must choose. You must decide to be that whosoever will. You know what? God wants to be chosen. Hey, young people, watch this. There ought to come a time in every one of your life where you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm glad if your mom and dad are saved. I'm glad if your grandma and grandpa are saved. I'm glad if you have a Christian heritage. But you know what? You know what? Somebody once said this, that God has no grandchildren. And you know what? You can't get to heaven on mom and dad's coattails. You're going to have to be that one that says, whosoever will. We spoke to the young people in our assembly out there during Sunday school, not just about being saved, but you know what? As you are saved and when you are saved, you must also choose what kind of a Christian you're going to decide that you're going to be. Whether you really want to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're willing to deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Him. Listen, the Bible says if you keep your life, you'll lose it. If you lose your life, you'll keep it. And you don't have a better plan for your life than God has. You can't come up with a better life than God's already had planned for you. What a great thing in a young person's life when they come to an old-fashioned altar and say, Jesus, I gave you my heart. Now I want to come back and give you all of me, my life, all of me, whosoever will. But you know what? God's not going to make you do anything. By the way, God can make you wish that you had, but God isn't going to make you do anything. God wants you to choose Him. God wants you to come to Him. Now here's the thought of the message this morning. If there is a whosoever will in the Bible, and there is, then there must be, by definition of the free will of man, there must also be a whosoever won't. A whosoever won't. Most pastors are ready and willing to share with you the stories of those who hear the gospel, have heard the gospel, embraced the gospel, and were gloriously saved. And those are the stories we like to tell. I like to share the story of how my dad was saved. And thank God for next door neighbors that cared enough to begin to invite my family to church. And Dad tells the story he did for years of going to church and falling under conviction of sin and realizing that he was lost. And then attending an old-fashioned revival meeting on the last night of that revival meeting, throwing his hymnal down on the pew and stepping out the aisle and walking up and saying, I need to be saved, and knelt in an old-fashioned altar and received Jesus Christ as his Savior. Those are the stories we like to tell. I like to tell the story, by way of just blessings in the recent weeks and days, but Ethan Dapper's been bringing a young lady to church, and she's been asking a lot of questions. Her name's Jennifer. I want you to meet her. I want you to get to know her, and she'll probably be here tonight. But after church, a couple Sunday nights ago, she asked if me and my wife would take her out, and we did, got a bite to eat after church. And then she began to ask questions, and there God's been working on her heart. And she really has very little church background. And I mean, we had to start in Genesis and go all the way through, but you know what? You know what? A soul was saved in Arby's restaurant 2 Sunday nights ago. Those are the stories I like to tell. Those are the fun stories to tell. How about just a week ago Friday when a young lady came to my office that, by the way, attends our Christian school. And she walks in the office and we begin to talk about some things, and soon her eyes are full of tears and she's looking at me, preacher, I don't even know if I'm saved. I don't think I'm saved. And to watch her bow her head and close her eyes and receive Jesus Christ, whosoever will. And you know what? She chose to. She said, I want to be a part of that group right there. Last Sunday morning, most of you were here. Ten people walked out last Sunday morning, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, right here in this auditorium, knelt along this altar, 8 adults, 2 teenagers, receiving Jesus Christ as their Savior. Brother Dively come to me. I got to lead a young man to the Lord last Sunday morning, and after my Sunday school class, who just wanted to be saved. God's been working in his heart, just want to be saved, whosoever will. The young lady again was led on the way home, I believe by Sister Angie Staggersy, on the bus last Sunday morning and got saved. Well, listen, those are the stories we like to tell. Those are the whosoever will stories. But the honest truth is, if you're an honest soul winner and an honest preacher, you could spend, if you would, and if you were so inclined, you could stand and spend hours telling some whosoever won't stories. Are you listening to me, folks? Because there's more whosoever won't stories than there is whosoever will stories. I remember a man that was on his deathbed. I mean, dying on his deathbed, a notorious sinner in our area that I went to see a few years ago. Walked into his room, told him I was a preacher, asked if I could share the gospel, and began to witness to that man. And I didn't get very far into it at all, and he began to curse and swear at me and ordered me out of his room and said, I don't need that, I don't want that. And by the way, 24 hours later, he'd passed into eternity. You know what he said? He said, I'm going to be a whosoever won't. Whosoever won't. I think about the woman who rejected Christ in her home, went to her house and knocked on the door and began to witness to her. And by the way, watched her come under Holy Spirit conviction. Knew God was dealing with her heart. You know what she looked at me and said? She looked at me and said, I'm sorry. There's just too much sin and too much of this world that I'd have to give up to be a Christian. Sorry, preacher, I'm just not going to be saved. Whosoever won't. I think about the teenagers that I met in Farmersburg several years ago, and we went over there in team sewing, and there was a group of about 5 teenagers that were kind of together there. And you know what? I got off the bus and I went over and began to talk to them. And I began to talk to them about eternity and about salvation and about the gospel and witness to them. And you know what? As I began to witness to them, 3 or 4 of them began to smirk at each other and laugh and make fun. And finally I just said, gentlemen, I'm sorry if I'm wasting your time. You can go. I have no problem with you going, because you know what? If you're not willing to or ready to hear the gospel with a serious heart, I'm wasting your time. You're wasting my time. And 4 of them walked away. The 5th one started to follow. He got about a half block, turned around, came back and said, preacher, I want to hear it. There was one whosoever will. One of them came back and got saved. But there's 4 of them that walked off laughing at the gospel. Who were they? They were the whosoever won'ts. You say, preacher, that word whosoever, we read it. You read it to us in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. How about another whosoever in the book of Revelation? Is there another one? There is. If you will go back a couple chapters to Revelation chapter number 20. Revelation chapter number 20. You're just right there. Go to Revelation chapter 20 and let's look at verse number 11. What about those who exercise their free will and choose not to be saved? Not to be saved. What about those who rejected Jesus Christ? Wait a minute, preacher. I've never rejected Jesus Christ. Listen to me. You're going to have an opportunity this morning to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're saved. And to not accept Him is to reject Him. Somehow we got in our minds that there's this safe little neutral area. No, you know what? You're either lost or saved. You're either a whosoever will or a whosoever won't. And God brought you to this place again today to hear the gospel so that you can be saved. You're going to make a decision of some kind. You'll make a decision of some kind this morning. What about those whosoever won't? Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Notice verse 15. And what's the next word? Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We like to speak and talk about the whosoever wills, but what about the whosoever won't? Let me talk to you about that out of this portion of Scripture. Number one, in the future, there's going to be a great gathering of the whosoever won'ts. Out in the future, eternity future, there's going to be a great gathering of the whosoever won'ts. It's known as the Great White Throne Judgment. By the way, no one will be absent. No one will escape. The Bible says that the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged every man according to their works. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Listen to me, folks. No one's going to find a place to hide. Every single person who, from the time that they were born, along the timeline of their life to the time they died, if they failed to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, no matter what age they lived in, what century they lived in, what time, you know what? They'll be standing there before God, before that great white throne judgment. There's going to be a great future gathering of the whosoever wants. This gathering will be before the throne of God, the God of the universe, upon His great white throne. By the way, let me remind you, this is the same God that sent His Son. This is the same God that turned His back on His Son. This is the same God that put all of the sins of all of the world onto Jesus. This is the same God that poured out His wrath and allowed His Son, who was innocent, who was pure, who was sinless, to pay for the sins of those that will gather there in that day. The gathering will include all classes of people. I don't care if you're a billionaire, or I don't care if you died and never had two nickels to rub together. The Bible says that the dead, small and great, will stand before God. Famous, infamous, unknown, it doesn't matter. Every single person that never received Jesus Christ as their Savior, every race, every language, every creed, every excuse in the book will be there. But you know what? They'll be there to be judged. There's a great future gathering of the whosoever wants. Number two, there's a tell-all review of the lives of the whosoever wants. A tell-all review of the lives of the whosoever wants. The Bible says in verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. The books were opened. And then it goes on to say, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. I'm going to tell you what I believe about this. I don't know how God does it exactly. But I will tell you this, folks. I believe that there's an eternal record of every act, of every word, of every thought, of every motive, of every intent, of every man. There's a huge library in heaven, and there's a book with your name on it, and it contains a perfect record of everything you've ever done, ever thought on this planet. Oh my goodness sakes, preacher. You mean there's going to be a day where that book is open? By the way, this is the great white throne judgment. This isn't the judgment for those of us that are saved. Let me give you some good news for those of us that are saved. Say, preacher, if God, when He judges the Christians, when He judges those that have come to Jesus Christ, when He judges those whose sins have been forgiven and washed away by the blood of the Lamb, when we stand before God and those books are opened, what will those books contain? On every page, folks, instead of our sins will be the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. On every page, instead of a listing of our sins, an account of our failures, there's going to be the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that you're born again? But wait a minute. What about the whosoever wants? Now watch me. Hey, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Don't need Him. But you don't understand. He shed His blood to pay for your sins. Don't want it. Hey, preacher, I've never said that. If you've never accepted Him, you've rejected Him. Yes, you have. Don't want it, don't need it. I'm good enough on my own to get to heaven. I don't need to trust in Jesus. I don't need the crutch of religion. It's what you hear proud men say out there. Listen, I'm not trying to get you to embrace religion. I'm trying to get you to embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, I don't follow a religion either, but I do follow the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. My faith and trust is in Him. And you do need Jesus. You do need Jesus. Don't need it. So God gathers all the whosoever wants together and said, didn't need what my Son provided for you. Didn't need to be saved. Didn't need to go to an old-fashioned church. Didn't need to humble yourself as a sinner. Didn't need to accept the shed blood of my Son. Walked right over the top on it. Spit on what He did on Calvary's cross. Didn't need it. You're good enough without it. All right, let's see how good you are. And the honest truth is, folks, we'll just let the Holy Spirit of God settle on each and every one of us privately right now. What a scary thought. If the book of our lives were opened and everything was made public.
And those people that stand proudly in this day and age and act as if they don't need the forgiveness of God will listen and account for page after page after page of sinfulness and sinfulness and sinfulness and sinfulness. Say, preacher, there's nothing in those books that are good. The Bible says that without Christ, even our righteousness is as filthy rags. Even what we try to do right is so tainted with wrong motive, sinful motive. So they're going to sit there and listen to that, and they're going to be judged from that book. Great white throne judgment. There's a tell-all review of the lives of the whosoever wants. All will be tried according to their works. Watch this. According to my King James Holy Bible, if one sin is found in their record, then they are disqualified from heaven. Say, preacher, where do you get that? James 2:10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Goes on to say in verse 19, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. There we have the tell-all review of the lives of the whosoever wants. Number three, there's a final destination for the whosoever wants. These whosoever wants are not found in the Lamb's Book of Life. Say, preacher, the books were opened. The Bible talks about here in verse 12 another book. What is this other book? It's the Book of Life. And you know what? God got His pen out last week, and those that received Jesus Christ as their Savior truly meant it with their heart. You know what He did? He took and wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I see some of you are back here. God bless you. You know what? Bet you slept a little better this week. Amen. I mean, it's nice to put your head on your pillow and know that you're saved and know that you're born again. Thank God for Calvary. Say, preacher, why do you all put the emphasis where you do at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Why all the talk about soul winning? When so many churches have gotten out of the bus ministry, why are y'all still in it? I'll tell you why. Because there is a real place called hell, and there's a real place called the lake of fire. Please listen to me for the next few minutes. Watch this. The whosoever wants will not be found written in the Book of Life. These whosoever wants will hear God's eternal condemnation. What will they hear on that day? Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Folks, what an awesome day. Think about it. What's the Bible say here? Verse number 15, and whosoever was not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. Jesus looks and God looks and says, depart from me, ye that work in their iniquity. I never knew you. And the Bible talks about strong angels with eternal chains coming and wrapping those lost, those that are damned now into eternal darkness and into the lake of fire, wrapping them in the chains of eternity and casting them in the lake of fire. Folks, this isn't some fairy tale. This isn't a myth. This is real. It's real. Preacher, why do we pass out the gospel tracts? Because hell's real. Why invite your neighbors? Because hell's real. Why have a big Sunday next Sunday? I Love America Sunday. And why print the cards? And why try to get lost people here? Because hell's real. It's forever. So in Matthew chapter number 25, verse 41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. These whosoever wants will be sentenced to what the Bible calls the second death. I'm going to have you look at one last verse if you will, you're right there, Revelation 21. We were in chapter 20. Let's look at 21. Let's look at verse number 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Let me tell you about a little exercise I go through, and then we'll give our invitation. But I need to do this. I wish you'd do it or something like it. From time to time, I just drive out to Shackamack State Park, and I park near one of the trailheads, and I go on a little hiking trail, and it wanders down through the woods for a while, and then finally it gives me a vantage point where I can stand and look over Shakamak Lake. And I stand there and go through a mental exercise. You see, if you look at Shakamak Lake, it is a beautiful lake, and honestly, very, very, very restful, very peaceful. It's just kind of nice to be in the woods. But I didn't come there to enjoy Shakamak Lake. I came there to ask God to burden my heart for another lake. And I look over that lake and I try to the best I can with my limited imagination think about what it would be like to stand on the brink, the edge of the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. I'm talking about folks' eternal turning and eternal burning. I'm talking about eternal falling, the bottomless pit the Bible calls it, eternal darkness. I try to sit there and imagine what it would be like to stand before the God of heaven, having rejected His Son, failing either through rejecting or neglecting to receive Jesus Christ, or to stand there guilty before God, to have my life reviewed and for all to hear of all the sin. The Bible says every idle word, every thought. You know what? If you think you'll stand before a righteous, holy God that day and measure up, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then all of a sudden to see strong angels come. Listen to me, this is real stuff. To bind your hand and foot and cast in that lake of fire. I stand there and I look at that lake, and instead of seeing water, I try to imagine what it would be to see a lake that burns with fire and brimstone. The Bible calls it the second death, an eternal death. Sin will cost all of us a day of death unless Jesus comes. We'll die the first time physically. That happens in a moment, an instant, but the Bible talks about the eternity, the eternal death in the lake of fire. Why do you do that, preacher? Well, for one thing, after I get done imagining that, you know what I want to do? I just want to weep and clap my hands and thank Jesus for saving me. He didn't have to find me as a little boy. He didn't have to care about me, but He saw to it that I got in the church and heard the gospel. I'll just sit out there and have a shouting fit and thank God for saving Jerry Ross. And you know what I'll do after that? I'll get on my knees and say, oh God, help me to win somebody to Christ this week. Help me to make a difference for all eternity. Help me lead Blessed Hope Baptist Church in such a way that our focus stays on getting the gospel to the lost, getting the gospel to the lost, getting the gospel. Let's just keep running the buses. Yeah, preacher, what if gas goes up to $4 a gallon? Already has a couple times. We didn't park them, amen. What if it goes to 5, 6? We'll figure out something. You know, we'll chip up the asphalt that Brother Tom's been pushing for and sell it back to him and see if we can get some of that. We'll put gas in the buses. Amen. Come on now. What's more important? Souls. 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 Why are we doing this? Souls. Hey, young person, you want to laugh this off? You want to go out and live your life? Live a carnal, wicked life? The kind of a Christian life that keeps people from being saved instead of urging people to get saved? You're going to stand there that day. You're going to be sorry for a wasted life. Not one bit of the pleasure, so-called pleasure that you've got in that sinful life will mean anything in that moment. Man, let's give ourselves to God. How about it? Are you here this morning and are you saved? I mean, that's the most important question of the hour. Do you know that you know that you know that you've been born again? I'm not talking about a religious experience. I'm not talking about getting your name on a church roll somewhere. I'm not talking about went for and got baptized. I'm talking about, have you ever come under conviction of sin? Holy Spirit conviction of sin. Saw yourself as a sinner lost before God in need of Jesus Christ, and your only hope was what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. Did you understand the gospel? That He died for your sins. That He was buried, rose again. Have you come to Jesus Christ and called out in simple faith and asked Him to be your Savior? If not, I pray that you do so today. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Heavenly Father, please speak to us. Dear Lord, speak powerfully to us this morning. Yes, thank God for the whosoever will stories, but Lord, way too many whosoever won't stories. Lord, I've watched men and women under conviction after the preaching of the Bible, stand there and refuse to come. Stumble out of a church, rush to their car, back into the world, back into sin. So close, so close, so close to being saved. They could have chosen to be saved. They have a free will. They could have been a whosoever will. But they said, no, I won't. I won't. I pray if there's anybody here in the preaching of Lord, the Word of God, that's lost, that they wouldn't leave here in that condition. Thank you for making salvation easy, Lord. Thank you for paying the price, dear God. Cost us nothing, cost you everything. Thank you for becoming the thing that you hated the most, Lord, becoming sin for us. Lord, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Lord, I pray, dear God, that as your Holy Spirit please works in our hearts and amongst us, if there's somebody here without Jesus as their Savior, that they'd be saved today. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I'm going to ask that nobody looks around. I simply want to pray for some of you today that may be here without Jesus as your Savior. If you're honest and would be honest and just say, Preacher, God spoke to my heart this morning. And the honest truth is, if I died right now, I'm not sure if I'd go to heaven. Preacher, God is working in my heart in a powerful way, and I know that there's a need in my life. Preacher, I need to be saved. Just pray for me, preacher. By the way, I won't call your name out. We won't come get you. We don't do that. You know what? You have to choose. I can't choose for you. You have to choose. But I do want to pray that God would help you to make the right decision this morning. Preacher, I'm not saved. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand? I'm not saved, preacher. Pray for me. I'm not saved. I see that hand there. God bless you. Is there another? I'm not saved. Pray for me, preacher. I've never received Jesus. I see your hand back there. God bless you. Somebody else. I'm not saved. I see that hand right there. God bless you. God bless you. It takes courage. Amen. I remember what it was like sitting in a Baptist church lost. Preacher preaching. I see your hand. God bless you, sir. Preacher preaching. God convicting my heart. Working strong in my life. I know what it is. Listen, I've been exactly where you're at. Thank God that that day, when the invitation started, I stepped out from my pew to the nearest aisle, walked forward. Somebody took the Bible and showed me how I could be saved. And you know what? I walked in that church on my way to hell, but when I left, I was on my way to heaven. Not because I deserved it, but because Jesus forgave me and saved me. Preacher, I wish I'd have raised my hand. I didn't. But I want to raise my hand now. I'm lost, preacher. I'm lost and I need to be saved. Would you pray for me, preacher? I'm lost. I need to be saved. Anybody? Anybody else? In just a minute, we're going to have an invitation. I want to pray for you because I promised I would. And then we're going to stand and we're going to have the piano player play in just a moment. And as soon as the piano player hits that first note, if you raised your hand just then and said, preacher, I'm not saved, but God's working on my heart, I'm going to ask that you do something that's going to take some courage. I'm going to ask you to step to the nearest aisle, come forward. We have two men here that are waiting. If you're a lady or a young lady, they'll get a lady to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. If you're a man, a gentleman, we'll get a man to take the Bible and show you how to be saved. But you can be saved today. Lord Jesus, thank you, dear God, that because of what Jesus did on Calvary's cross, we can get up and preach a whosoever will gospel. Lord, I pray for those who you have spoke to their heart, Lord, powerfully this morning. Lord, again, thank you, dear God. My mind goes back. I know what it is to walk into a church lost. I know what it is to get under Holy Spirit conviction and know that I need to be saved. And thank you, Lord, for giving me the courage to step out and be saved that day. I pray for these, dear God, these men, these women, these children, dear God, that raised their hand. And I pray, Lord, that you give them the courage to step forth. May today be the day of their salvation, dear Lord. May their entire eternal destiny be changed, dear God, because of their decision to accept you this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name.